noticed too, this death faking is like an elevation. It's a promotion of some kind. They go into, and this, I brought up, someone asked me about it, and yeah, I did get to the Mac Miller story. I didn't go deeper into it, but Mac Miller, MM33, All Seeing Eye, it all shouts, death faker. And then his lyrics, the foreshadowing, to a T. So they tell you all the time, and it seems like a promotion.
And I'm going to tell you, and I think that the way it's presented to the mass, when the mass public thinks about it, when somebody like us try to present this to the mass public, we're looked at as like, man, you're crazy, because why would they walk away from their family and everything, yada, yada, yada. Their family's still here grieving for them and all of that. Okay, I tell everybody this. Since the Nipsey Hussle situation, we haven't seen a trial, haven't even seen a preparation for a trial, anything yet. Lauren London disappeared from the world stage for a while. She filmed T.I.'s movie, ATL. They filmed a part two, which is, I think it's, it comes up on one of those numbers as like an anniversary. But it's just the fact that Nipsey's mother is gone, his brother's gone, all these characters that we were seeing on a regular during his death period, well, during the time that he was being promoted when he was alive and until he died or, you know, left the world stage, these people have disappeared, and now they're slowly but surely acclimating Lauren London back onto the world stage in different shows and things like that. And I'm thinking, like, people don't realize these people are still alive. So even when you're seeing them grieving, or you're thinking they're grieving, folks never think about something. They, when we look at celebrities, like I had this conversation about somebody when it comes to celebrities when they get pregnant. I'm like, now, when you hear about your favorite celebrity getting pregnant and they're having a baby, yada, 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 they tell you they're having a baby, let's do this January 1st. They already have this child, or whatever situation is already set up. These photos have already been taken, and they're on like a system where they're going to be released to the media at certain times throughout, as long as this person should be pregnant. Somebody else is carrying these babies. And
okay, that's another aspect I want to get into here. Astrology.
What I'm getting at basically is this, is that you're given a character. You're given these characters, like, you know what I'm saying, Rihanna, Beyonce, like, you know what I'm saying, whomever you want to put in there. You're given these characters, and you're shown these characters going through regular life situations or whatnot. These characters aren't going through this stuff, and it's because they're doing other things. You have to constantly stay preparing for whatever is coming next. So you have people, this stuff is already pre-planned, pre-done, photo shoots done of how far along you should look pregnant with the prosthetic belly photos and everything, and, you know, all of that, the prosthetic masking to make you look a little bit more swollen while you're pregnant, everything. Knowing that this person isn't pregnant at all, it's stagecraft. And then you see them do a concert a year later, and they're slim, trim, they had the baby just a couple months ago, and they're on stage and all of that. I think the entire reality we're given, I mean, with anything we see on television, nothing is real.
Well, this is coming up. Saturday, as in this Saturday, Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be speaking at this Turning Point event. And the thing is, I've been noticing, Turning Point, and this is a reference, I believe, to the Turner Diaries. And it's a reference of the coming Timothy McVeigh event that I believe is predicted. But I've noticed this Turning Point phrase has come up along with the McCloskeys, who are right off the cover of the Turner Diaries. But yeah, speaking of world stage movie, Kyle Rittenhouse was born the same day as Greta Thunberg. So to me, these are all just characters planted there to agitate us. It's very formulaic. And so the fact that he's going to be there Saturday, major agitation move, if you ask me.
See, and this is how come I think, honestly, like, just going back to when we were talking about the whole JonBenet situation and about the Aaliyah situation and everything, this is why. When we talk about this world stage, like I said, when I started writing my book, I started deep diving and really going into like our like the conversations that we have over here and the different comments and everything. And I've come to this as far as this whole entertainment thing with the children and the people that we see who appear on the world stage. These people are groomed from the time that they're children. These stories, that we get about them, oh, I went to school with them, so-and-so, these friends are manufactured. This history is of them is manufactured. They'll mix some of the person's real, yeah, they might have grew up in this neighborhood and did this and that, but what they don't tell you is that, like, every summer, this child might have went away for the whole summer for, you know what I'm saying, 3 months, he was gone, or she was gone. Until school was about to start, and it's like, oh, where'd you go for the summer? And this child would just say, oh, I went away for like a camp for the summer, or to see my grandparents or whatever. I think these children were being groomed from the time that they were very young, because, like you said, with the Rittenhouse and with like Greta. Born on the same day. What a damn coincidence. Yeah,
yes, and you can find Greta doing the A-OK sign over her eye back when she's like 3 years old.
And remember on Twitter when the script kind of leaked?
When it was like a message from George Soros to Greta. This is what you will tweet today. Yeah, her instructions were absolutely leaked. Yeah, that was great. That was like a reveal.
And the thing is, I'm going to tell you something. I think that like right now, honestly, what we're seeing, people say, oh, well, this is fake, that's fake. I'm like, listen, what you're seeing is that we live in a time where, like I said, this internet allows us to time travel. While we're talking about something, we could talk about something that happened 20, 30 years ago, and you can pull it right up on the screen for the people that's watching and research it in real time. So it gives us an advantage. So that's why when things happen, folks can now screenshot it, catch it, everything. And it's like, and that's where the war is. The war is on art, because you turn these things into memes and they become something that's accessible from, like I said, from the layman onto the most quote-unquote woke person.
War on art. I like that. It is a war on art. The war on memes. It's a war on art and war on ideas. And interestingly enough, I was watching this show 100, and this general or this colonel quotes Sun Tzu's Art of War, saying that the greatest generals win without a battle. And that's kind of what they're doing. I think that the mind war is all about subjugating the human race under one single authoritarian ruler without a battle, without a fight.
And you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like right behind me, I have that book, The Art of War. And it's like when you brought that up as far as how the battles are won, it's because warfare. See, people hear the word war and they think about the battle. It's the person who actually wins the war has already won it before there's any type of physical confrontation, because that's what warfare is about. Warfare is about your planning, meaning you've already got the enemy so disheveled, so off of key, off of what he's going to do, any plan, that it's like you're guaranteed a win. And that's how wars are won. That's why people don't look at the act. When they think of warfare, they think of the actual battle. No, the Art of War talked about how you prepare, like, you know, you're already waging war before. Sometimes you wage war with people before they even know that they're your enemy.
Yes. In fact, I think that the Cold War was all a setup to giving us all the cold, the flu. That COVID was the Cold War actually winning, that they conquered us with giving us the flu or a cold.
And I'm going to tell you something. And I think that they come up with terms like that, Cold War and things like that, because they know that subconsciously, we retain information, and certain words will become triggers. So when they're used later on, like, you know, saying cold this, cold that, or whatever, you start to link things with each other. And it's like I said, it's a war on people's common sense. It's a war on like coincidence. Like, I love that whole coincidence theory. I like that. That's, it's like, because it's a war on us who see too many patterns and can see from the fourth wall perspective.
Oh yeah, you keep calling out the glitches in the Matrix, and they just keep gaslighting, and it used to work, but now that we have the internet, and we have this think tank, and we're able to talk to people, like, well, these patterns are legit, and I can point to hundreds of them. Either we live in a simulation, or they have imposed a fictional universe over the real thing using mass media, which is what religions have done from the beginning. So I kind of think that we're just living in a high-tech, in a high-tech religion. It's basically propaganda. Is so advanced that they're shaping the worldview collectively, and they do it with, it's almost like magic. You know, they put it on the screen and it's manifested.
I think that that's what